Our gospel lesson this morning comes from John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. The Bible says that on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. The word of God once again for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Join me in prayer. God, thank you for the witness of Scripture and how it leads us closer to you. As we seek your truth this morning, open our hearts and minds to receive what you want to share with us and help us to share it with others. It's in Christ's risen name that we pray. Amen. I just got to start by saying this. Wasn't last week great? I tell you, I've seen about, give or take, 35 Easters in my lifetime, and that ranks up there among the best. And hallelujah, Miss Ruth. That's right. And I think the reason it was so wonderful and joyful is because we once again heard the good news of Jesus' resurrection and victory from death. And it was evident to all who were here that we believed that good news with all our hearts. But what if we didn't believe it? What if we thought it was too far-fetched to really be true? What if we doubted that such an impossible-sounding thing could actually happen? Because, let's be honest, it's pretty crazy, right? A dead man coming back to life, and not just any man, mind you, but the living, breathing Son of God. A lot of times, we Christians seem to be amazed that more people don't believe in Jesus. But friends, what we believe isn't an easy thing to believe in. It takes a tremendous amount of faith to believe in Jesus, to believe in the resurrection. And that kind of faith doesn't just materialize overnight. Because you see, on the road to faith, everybody starts from somewhere. Some are born in places where there's almost no mention of Christ whatsoever. Some come liking a lot of the things that Jesus did and said, but they're doubtful and skeptical about all the other things that make him so special and unique. It's helpful for us to recognize where people have come from and where they are right now, so that we as Christians can take the steps needed to lead them closer to Jesus. But to do so, we can't just brush aside their doubts. We can't just tell them to believe and leave it at that, because that's not what Jesus did with those who doubted him in his resurrection. And because of that, we must go and do likewise. In today's scripture, we're going to see how the risen Christ proved himself to a doubtful disciple and how he continues to prove himself to us today. Now, in today's scripture from John chapter 20, the resurrection has just happened, but Jesus isn't wasting any time in making his presence known among his followers. After seeing the empty tomb, the Bible says that Peter goes off to tell the other disciples what he's seen. And while gathered with them that very evening, Christ appears and shows them his hands and his side, providing all the proof they needed to believe that this man before them really was Jesus. It really was the resurrected Christ. Now, obviously, this was great news for the disciples gathered in that room, and it left them feeling amazed and overjoyed. But there was somebody missing. There was one disciple who wasn't with them, one person who hadn't yet seen the risen Christ, Thomas. Now, we don't know where he was or what he was doing when Jesus appeared to the other disciples. All we know is that Thomas missed out on something that seemed too good to be true. For years, Thomas had journeyed with, lived with, and served among these men. He loved them. He trusted them. But even so, he found it hard to believe what they told him upon his return. In verse 25, the disciples tell Thomas, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Have you ever been so exhausted or grief-stricken that you're not thinking straight? Have you ever been through something so traumatic that the reality of what's right there in front of you starts to blur? Imagine, if you will, that the person you've decided to love, follow, and serve for the rest of your life was betrayed, beaten, killed, and buried before your very eyes, all within the span of a single day. How do you think you'd be doing? Now, if the seven stages of grief are to be believed, you'd probably be riding that initial wave of shock, denial, and anger. You'd be a long way from making sense of whatever's happening right in front of you, I bet. And that's why Thomas was skeptical of what the disciples were telling him. Grief, shock, and anger makes you see and believe things that might not be real. And Thomas wasn't about to get caught up in their hysteria. If what they were saying was true, Thomas would need to see proof. And not just any proof. He'd need to see the nail marks in his hands and the wound in his side. Otherwise, he would not believe. Now, doubtful, unfaithful, reckless, no, not at all. In spite of everything he'd heard and seen from Jesus over the years, Thomas's skepticism here was legitimate. After all, resurrections don't just happen every day now, do they? Thomas needed proof. He needed to know that it was real, that Jesus, his Jesus, was really back from the dead, that he had really risen from the grave. Even so, we shouldn't be so naive as to think that we can force God to do whatever we want. But at the same time, God does have a way of meeting us at the point of our need. Because when we're hungry, he feeds us. When we're suffering, he comforts us. And when we're doubtful, he proves himself to us time and time again. That's what Jesus does for Thomas here in verses 26 and 27. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. I wonder what it was like for Thomas in this moment to have all your doubts, your skepticism, and your questions washed away in an instant. To see for yourself that Jesus can literally handle anything that we throw at him. For you see, Jesus' resurrection proves that he can handle our pain, our suffering, our sins, our questions, and yes, even our doubt. He can handle it all and still rise victorious in spite of it. Because no matter what they are, our problems are never too big for Jesus. As Thomas stood before the resurrected Christ and began to process all the many things that he was thinking and feeling on the inside, the only words he could muster were, "My Lord and my God." Thomas's doubt hadn't led him away from Jesus. It actually moved him closer than he'd ever been before. Because when it's all said and done, what Thomas longed for more than anything else was the truth. Standing before Jesus here and proclaiming him as Lord, Thomas knew that he'd found more than just the truth. He'd found the truth, the life, and the way. And in this moment of awestruck worship, Jesus spoke words that comfort all of us who struggle with skepticism and doubt when he said this, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." You know, in spite of my faith, in spite of my calling as a minister, I've never seen Jesus. I've never touched the nail marks in his hands or examined the wound in his side. Yet I still love him, trust him, and follow him. But that doesn't mean it's easy. Faith, especially in something you haven't seen with your very eyes, is really hard. I can't tell you how many times I've been skeptical of the things I've read about Jesus in the Bible. I can't count the number of times that I've doubted his presence in my life, especially when times got tough. Sometimes, and maybe you can understand this too, I've just wanted to see Jesus right there in front of me so that he can answer all my questions and ease all my doubts. Sometimes I just want to see for myself that he's actually the person that the Bible says he is. Now, these feelings and the desires, when they come up from time to time, they don't make us heretics and sinners. Neither do they make us any less Christian. If anything, our doubts can lead us to a deeper faith than the one we already have. And trust me, I know how counterproductive that might seem when you hear it for the first time, but when it comes to your faith, how can you really trust something that hasn't been tested, that hasn't been refined to prove itself to you? Far from telling us to get in line and just be quiet, Jesus invites us to bring all of who we are before him, including our doubts. Because as today's scripture shows us, Jesus can stand up to every question and doubt that we lay before him. And if you think that your questions and your doubt and your skepticism make you an outcast, then you're actually in some pretty good company. Because Abraham doubted and laughed in God's face when he heard that he and his wife would have children. Mary doubted just how in the world it was going to happen for Jesus to come into the world through her. And here in today's scripture, Thomas doubted that a man that was literally beaten, killed, and buried before his very eyes had really come back from the dead. In each and every instance, God didn't cast these men and women out because of their questions and their doubt. If anything, he pulled them closer to himself and spoke to their hearts and their minds in order to show them that he was real and that his promises were true. Friends, if we want to swim out into the deep waters of faith, hope, and trust, we've got to break through the crashing waves of doubt and skepticism first. And while some people might try and tell us that we've got to deconstruct and disregard a lot of things about our faith in order to do so, there are faithful ways for us to deal with doubt, three of which include the following. First, when you have doubts, just be honest with God. If you want to find some brutally honest scriptures, look no further than the book of Psalms, specifically Psalm 42, where the psalmist poses this question to God directly. Why have you forgotten me? Now, if you ask me, that sounds more like an accusation than a question. But this one particular example, it models honesty with God, and it reminds us that we don't have to put on a show in order to approach God and to tell him how we really feel and what questions and doubts are swirling around in our hearts and in our minds. Second, we can practice the art of remembering. Now, in times of uncertainty, it's really easy to second-guess everything you've ever believed about God. While we might, of course, have some incorrect assumptions to get rid of, it's important that we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Sometimes simply remembering what we know to be true is enough to answer our questions and ease our doubts. Because let's face it, it's easy to forget a lot of the foundational truths to our faith, especially if we're not spending time each day reading scripture and praying to God. And third, we need to turn our questions outward. Now, a lot of times, I think we don't share our questions and doubts with others. Now, maybe it's because we don't want other people to judge us, or maybe it's because we don't want people to peek behind the curtain of our lives and shockingly discover that we're human after all. As tempting as it may be to keep everything to yourself, if you really want to grow and learn, if you really want to know the truth, you'll need other Christians to help you and to walk alongside you. And not just any Christians, mind you, but Christians who've already swam through the waves of doubt and have reached the deep waters of abiding faith. A lot of times, we don't share our struggles with others because we can't imagine that anybody else will be able to understand or appreciate what it is that we're going through. But when we share our questions and our doubts with other Christians, we're able to see that we're not the first one to face these things that are affecting us. Because no matter what it is that you're skeptical about or doubtful of, trust me when I say that you're not the first one to have those questions or those doubts. And since that's the case, there's probably a lot you can learn from others who have asked those same questions as well. Now, far from being something that we should hide or feel shameful about, our doubts and our questions, when handled in a faithful way, can actually lead us closer to Jesus and not further away. Because ultimately, Jesus wants us to ask all the questions and overcome all the doubts that keep us from fully loving, trusting, and serving him. And we can't do that by simply pretending that they don't exist. Thomas acknowledged his doubts. He shared them with other people. And when confronted by the truth, Thomas believed. Now, even though we're not able to see what Thomas saw, Jesus invites us to believe in him all the same. For some of us, accepting that invitation may involve confronting lots of questions and doubts. For others, it may be as simple as saying, "Yes, Lord, I believe." On the road to faith, we all start from different places, and our journeys won't all be the same. But if we keep searching and seeking after the truth, friends, we will find it. Because Jesus Christ is the truth, the life, and the way. And because he is, he's big enough and strong enough to handle anything you throw at him. Whether it's your sins, your struggles, your addictions, or your doubts, our problems are never too big for Jesus. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for loving us and proving yourself to us through your life, death, and resurrection. As we come before you this morning, we come acknowledging our questions and our doubts. In spite of our faith, Lord, we still struggle from time to time. Help our unbelief. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts as well as our minds. Comfort us, encourage us, and enlighten us so that we can overcome all the obstacles that prevent us from fully loving, trusting, and serving you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.